I'm David Schreiner-Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome two guests, Suzanne Fetcher and Sheila Mullen. Suzanne was appointed the founding president and CEO of McAllister Center for Innovation in April 1998, a nationally acclaimed contemporary art center dedicated to connecting art and artists with the community. Sheila joined McCall Center for Art and Innovation as the Innovation Institute Director, focusing on the cultivation of creativity among business leaders in Charlotte and across the country. So thank you for both coming on Smashing the Plateau today. And rather than spending time talking about your background or my just reading it, I'd rather have you tell our audience a little bit about each of your own backgrounds and a little bit about the center. And then we can talk about why this could be a really fascinating discussion for people who are business leaders.
Great. Well, thank you, David. This is Suzanne Fetcher, and I am delighted and honored to be part of this program. So thank you for inviting Sheila and me. I actually am an artist in background. I have a master's of fine arts degree from the University of Florida, and expected that I would go into teaching studio classes at the university. But at that time, there weren't very many tenure track positions. I did teach at the university for 5 years as an adjunct, but I couldn't land a tenure track position and ended up finding my way accidentally into arts administration, not by any predetermined sort of goal on my part. It was just an interesting opportunity that presented itself while I was waiting for the full-time teaching gig to happen. And that led me into arts administration and this opportunity here up at McCall Center for Art and Innovation in Charlotte. I was living at the time in Florida. And the opportunity was actually to start this organization, McCall Center, which is primarily an artist-in-residence program. And we bring artists, really smart, talented, ambitious artists from all over the world to be here for 1 to 4 months in a think tank environment. And the idea is to really provide them an opportunity to have real intellectual and creative, maybe technical breakthroughs in their work. Whereas maybe in their regular life, they are prone to, maybe produce work that is for the marketplace that they can sell for their gallery, they're doing commissions, but they're making a living doing that, and they don't necessarily have the time or the support to do experimentation and to fail. And so we provide them that with financial support and a really fantastic, beautiful facility that is really well equipped so that they can experiment in any way. And we have technical support to help them do that. So we have this fantastic research and development facility, 30,000 square feet. It's in a Gothic Revival church, and it's right uptown Charlotte. So we're in the midst of this global corporate community. Which provided us a very interesting juxtaposition of what was going on in our mission and the opportunity to connect these really smart, creative individuals, our artists, with a corporate community and try to add value to the conversations and some of the challenges that corporate America was claiming, and very specifically in this case, claiming that they wanted to be more innovative, but not necessarily knowing how to go about that.
That's great. And we'll get into that. And it's interesting, Suzanne, how our own professional paths often take sort of unexpected turns.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Sheila, what's your background and how do you get involved with the center?
Yeah, so I'm the poster child for unexpected turns. I came to the center. I was working in a large technology company, and I came to the center 7 years ago to actually serve on the board. And I served as board chair in 13-14. which then led me to the director of the Innovation Institute position. My background previous to that, I actually have a degree in interior design, I have a master's of business administration, and I have a master's of organizational development with a focus in innovation and creativity. So those experiences, plus my 25 years in the corporate world, came to this point in time to run this organization.
Sounds like a great background for this. So now tell me a little bit about the kind of work that you do in the center and how you sort of implied in your introduction, Suzanne, that corporate America claims to want to be innovative.
Yeah, they do. They claim it, or they even claim that they are, but often their work, their functioning and their products or their services don't really reflect it. So I think there's often more of a brand that they are, but not really living it and breathing it and practicing it. And then when they do want to investigate it, what is often the case is that they'll go to an MBA program and to try to identify some experts in innovation to help them be more innovative. And in our perspective, that seems to be going in the wrong direction, and a very predictable direction, but a wrong direction, because what we feel is that artists live and breathe creativity and innovation every day. They've got the muscles, they're practicing it, they're pushing themselves in order to really do excellent work of the highest integrity, of the highest sort of intellectual pursuit and scholarship, with great, you know, amount of research involved and adherence to budgets and contracts and all of those things, and yet still delivering incredible creativity and innovation as they're doing all of that with all of those restrictions. So we posit that business executives could be having these conversations around innovation and creativity with artists, and we could get right to the source of this creative practice and how to convert the creative practice into actual innovation for organizations and for companies much more directly than going through an MBA kind of approach to those solutions.
Right. So if you go to the MBA, the MBA route to try to seek innovation, one of the words you use to describe what corporate America is seeking is predictability. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about whether predictability is in conflict with innovation.
Boy, it is, absolutely. Because with predictability, you want safe choices. You want goals that can be delivered. And I like to give the example of in the business world, you are at, you know, where you are, essentially. You're at one point, and you know exactly where you want to go. And the only part of the equation is to try to get to that target goal as quickly as possible, in as straight a line as possible, without deviating from that straight line and that schedule. So that's the goal, and you already know the deliverable. An artist will start where they are, perhaps with a problem, and they sort of know where they want to go, but they start to make that investigation, and the investigation informs where they ultimately end up. And it may be way beyond what they originally thought that they wanted to get. It might be in a completely different direction because they realized one third of the way in that what they wanted to get to was really a bad choice. And so they change in the process. Where in my mind, a lot of corporate America, they might know a third of the way in that this is really a bad solution, but they're all on board and told that they have to deliver this, so they just do it.
Yeah, David, one of the things that we find is that our clients have gotten rewarded for being right quickly, and failure is not an option. And many institutions are created to keep creativity at bay and reward repetitive behavior. And it's that indulgence that artists teach us of looking and seeing and exploring and turning around and just changing directions if that's what's necessary. It's that indulgence that the business community can learn.
So I wonder if there's an example or a story that you might be willing to share of a company that was quote unquote seeking innovation, but doing so in a very predictable environment, and then shifted to using the artist model and came up with a very different scenario.
Well, I was going to give an example of a local marketing PR firm in town. And it was right during the 2008, sort of the meltdown. And they are one of the largest marketing companies in town. And so they've been really successful. And yet the owner of this company knew that unless they did something differently, they were going to significantly lose market share and not be able to continue to sustain themselves as a company, and much less, you know, really thrive and grow and add, you know, business. And so they really took on the Innovation Institute model and completely redesigned their operating and business model. And really boldly, really experimentally, and I can't give you real specifics about it, but she just shared that change, sort of almost a reinvention of their business model in order to be more creative and to be more flexible and to be more responsive to the marketplace. And now, again, they are hugely successful in winning more national contracts and not just relying on local and regional business. And she credits the Innovation Institute and just the whole process of working with artists and working the way artists work.
Yeah, and I have an example of a pediatrician in town who came and took the Innovation Institute, and she basically, you know, declared Innovation Institute as the reason that she was able to leave a traditional practice, go practice as she wanted to in a more integrative family style, meaning she treats the whole family, not just the child. And it was everything that was in her head and her fear of failure and her inability for her to execute on the ideas in her head because it was never done before were all dispelled. And she got the gumption and the fortitude to go make these things happen. As a matter of fact, she just wrote a book and she's promoting it right now. So she's a great Innovation Institute example.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because one of the areas where people in leadership roles, particularly small business owners, struggle when they have an idea and they want to do things a little differently, but they're afraid to take the first step. Often they're afraid of failure. Sometimes they're afraid of success. I've seen lots of cases where they'll start down a new path. Could be like you've just described, a change in the business model. They think that they're really not speaking to their ideal customer, and so they take some time and do some analysis of who would really be the best customer for them, and they try to shift their focus and shift their marketing. And what often happens is they start down a new path, and something pops up that's unexpected. And suddenly the whole project gets derailed. Getting started and continuing down a path when unexpected things happen are both really hard to do.
It requires a lot of courage and a lot of confidence in your intuition.
Yeah.
It really does. It's essentially our right brain that is our creative side. And you need both. You need a right brain and a left brain, because you do need the left brain to ask the analytical questions so that you are still doing the research. But you really do have to have a lot of courage and trust your intuition to step out there. But to do it then in a way, incrementally, so that you can be learning. I said, you know, and I gave the example earlier of an artist starts with a problem and starts making those initial steps in the investigation and learns every step of the way, and that informs then the next step. And I think that that's one way that businesses can start to investigate their own intuition and what their instincts in terms of how to shift the, perhaps in this case, the, you know, the target audience, but to do it incrementally and to be very aware and in tune for with what the response is, and then make decisions on that, as opposed to buying establishing a wholesale approach and just hammering away that this is the way it's got to be. It's much more of the rapid prototyping approach that artists do than identifying a solution and doing that for the next 6 months without reflecting back.
Do you see that there's some analogies, as an example, to the lean startup methodology, where you spend as little time as possible trying to create a minimum viable product and get an initial customer or initial small number of customers, and then iterate your development or your design around feedback from those initial customers?
Well, yes, it can be. But one of the things we talk a lot about is the creative mindset. So if you already have a goal in mind or an end in mind, which, you know, we've been taught for years and years and years in the business world, you miss a lot of opportunities or possibilities or ideas. So the creative mindset allows artists to follow what's interesting. So is this interesting? Is it interesting and could lead me somewhere? A lot of artists will start a number of projects, multiple projects at one time, and then put a few away and pick them up later. So it's that idea, yes, of lots of new ideas tested quickly. But I think behind that, you have to have the creativity, because conservative ideas will lead to conservative solutions. So if you broaden your opportunity base or broaden your perspective, then there's a greater opportunity for new ideas.
And testing those ideas then at the marketplace, like you were suggesting, and seeing what people respond to.
Right. So given the fact that we don't have a huge amount of time to go into a lot of depth about how this process works, are there some simple tips that you can offer to our audience of ways they might be able to change their thinking or change their behavior around trying new things in their businesses that might have a different kind of result than they typically might get otherwise?
So we always say that creativity has two parts. One is curiosity, and the second is courage. So curiosity is the what if, how might we have, you know, if we tried it this way, what would happen? The courage is actually to go and implement some of those ideas. So having those pieces of creativity, of courage and curiosity, I think are two vital skill sets that people need to develop. And there's hundreds of ways to do that. How do you develop curiosity? You know, keep a notebook and write down things that are interesting to you.
And sometimes it can come from, you know, from different directions. That's sort of divergent thinking. Mm-hmm. And artists are always open to that. When, you know, they live very presently, I would say. And so they're open to inspirations or ideas from different directions. It could be anybody, anything, anytime. You know, you hear about this in scientists, that they happen to spill something, and it was the accident of spilling that substance on something else that created this new, I don't know, a pharmaceutical or a new product in some way. And I think that, I think business people could think that way and be open to the inspiration or the solution that might be there in front of them, but from a different personality or a different direction, so they're not paying attention to it. I think that's something. And sometimes it's also putting yourself in very different environments, getting out of your comfort zone and going to places where you won't normally go, you know, stretching your own level of comfort so that you are in a more exotic environment, perhaps. That will also stretch the way that you normally process things, and you might come up with new ideas and just new inspirations that might be applicable, may not. It might be food for thought, and you'll remember them 3 months from now and there was something there that happened that would add value in some way.
Right. So what's an example of a new kind of environment that somebody might be uncomfortable going into?
You know, for all of us, we have different senses of what that is. It could be a really strange ethnic restaurant in a different side of town, right? And so you have different sights and smells and sounds and a whole different kind of people that you're with. But it sort of opens you up. It becomes all of your senses are alive, and the way you're thinking about things might shift a bit. So that just starts to it's sort of like opens up your capillaries again and gets you thinking in stimulated in a different way.
And it could be as simple as driving home a different way every day, finding a new way to drive home. That will cause you to be uncomfortable.
It can.
So getting out of your routine.
Yes.
Getting out of your routine and challenging yourself. We're also eager to stay in our routines and make our lives easier, but that's also then you arrive at a predictability. There's a level of comfort and predictability, but there's also a level of predictability and predictability.
And Suzanne used the word intuition, and intuition and being present and being mindful are all tools and skills that artists use to be present and see the world differently. You know, take a walk and notice every leaf on the ground, notice every blade of grass, notice what someone's wearing. I had a situation last week, matter of fact, where I have my whole office painted with blue skies because there's only possibilities here. And I had a executive come in and she said, "Wow, I'm just really relaxed in your office." And I said something about the blue skies and she's like, "Wow, I didn't even notice that the walls were painted with blue skies." And so it was that she was in such a rapid, you know, closed down mindset that once she realized that she didn't even realize that there was paintings on the wall, that was insightful for her.
Interesting. Who have been some of the influencers on the two of you and maybe the center in general that have helped to create this kind of thinking?
Certainly a couple authors that I've read. Daniel Pink's A Whole New Mind, which is really an argument for the importance of right brain thinking and creative capacity and for everybody. And that more and more leaders of companies and organizations have identified creative capacity as one of the key strengths that leaders will require in future companies and organizations, just to keep organizations successful, but more importantly to lead competition. And it was Daniel Pink who identified, he actually was seeing the trend that a lot of companies are going to MFA programs and hiring recent graduates from studio arts backgrounds to come and work for them because they're looking for original thinkers. And these are people who are obviously smart, they're highly educated, but they're also incredibly creative and they're original thinkers. The business leaders are not hiring as many MBAs because MBAs are often trained very much alike and they all can come up with the same solutions, but they need to throw into this mix these really original thinkers who can be more disruptive in a good way to add different perspectives. So for me, that really validated this notion of how artists can add value in a business environment. And in fact, they're being sought after. So how could we actually engage artists in a way that could help train some of these executives and their teams to bring this creative capacity to their organization? The second one is Richard Florida. Richard Florida wrote a book called The Rise of the Creative Class. And he was at the time a research fellow at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And he was studying why corporate headquarters were moving. What was the motivation for large corporations to move their headquarters to places like Austin, Texas, and Houston, and San Francisco. And what he found out is that they were moving their headquarters because they wanted to go where the creative talent was living. The creatives are not following the old norms of moving to where they can get jobs, wherever that is, whether it's Toledo, Ohio, or I don't know where, Cincinnati. But they're moving to the cities where they're embedded in a really creative environment that's also really inclusive and tolerant and diverse. And they're making their own jobs happen, or they're finding really interesting jobs there. They're not willing to just live and work any place. And so companies are moving their headquarters to these creative hubs. Well, I definitely see that there's more interest in companies having creativity in their core. But my argument and McCall Center's one of our core values is that everybody has creative capacity. We all know it about ourselves when we think about when we were 6 years old and we were building forts and we were making up games and we were writing stories and we were painting pictures and we were putting on plays and we were doing all of those things. But we get it trained out of us over time. Unfortunately, the school system is pretty good at training it out of us. And that's only reinforced in our work environment, where we get really good at coming up with the right answer, and we get really good at taking tests. So we don't really deviate too far from our left brain solutions to things. So it was really a marriage of seeing that companies don't have to move their headquarters to Austin, Texas. They actually have a wealth of creative capacity within their organization already. We just need to help them develop the creative capacity of the talent they already have, and then create the right culture so that creativity and innovation can actually thrive in it and add great value to their organization.
Sounds like also to help people feel safe being innovative.
Absolutely. It has to be there. I think companies inadvertently thwart innovation and creativity from happening as they're trying to manage, you know, large numbers of people. But that at the same time, they're saying they want everybody to be innovative. So how can we help the organization understand the cultural barriers they're erecting that are really preventing the things that they're hoping will happen?
So along those lines, Sheila and Suzanne, what are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Really, the teamwork, the corporate teamwork that we're doing within organizations. What we're finding is that when intact teams come and work with us, they have a shared experience, a shared language, a shared ability to support each other and make each other feel safe to support the creativity within their organization. That's one of the over and over and over again I've seen for the last year and a half, just organizations do great creative, innovative work because they've come together and learned it together.
That's great. Is there someone you know personally who's really doing remarkable work that you would like to mention?
Oh, God, there's so many.
Well, Jennifer Appleby, yeah. For sure. Jennifer Appleby, she was the person I cited earlier. She's the owner, principal of Ray Ward, which is the marketing and PR company here in town. She's just doing amazing work, and she's continues to pivot when she needs to pivot as a business owner, and her company has really grown. So in some ways there's more at stake, but at the same time, because there's more at stake, she really wants to remain creative and nimble.
Yeah, and probably the one that I would want to mention is Michael Arena. He's the chief talent officer at GM. He was the one that, he was a professor of mine at Queens University of Charlotte, and he had just taken the Innovation Institute, and it transformed who he was, who he is, how he thinks, and how he sought out to assist in the human capital around organizations. His class was just extraordinary. He blew everything that I thought I knew about the corporate world or what the corporate world was capable of out the door. He has embraced all of the the disciplines and the mindset of what we teach here, and he's off doing great things.
Wow, they sound like great examples. Well, Susan and Sheila, thank you so much for taking time to speak today about creativity and innovation in business, and particularly how artists and their way of thinking can be helpful to corporate America. It's been a really fascinating discussion. My guests today on Smashing the Plateau have been from the McColl Center for Art and Innovation in Charlotte, Suzanne Fetcher, the founding president and CEO, and Sheila Mullen, the Innovation Institute director. Thank you again, Sheila and Suzanne, for joining us.
Thank you very much, David.